Hallelujah. Almighty Yah has been so good to us. Amen. So good. And now we get to start another Torah portion cycle. Yes. Hallelujah. And this one is Vayera, He appeared. Amen. And to be honest, we can tell Almighty Yah has been appearing a lot in our lives lately and blessing us with confirmation, truth, guidance, and certainty that we're on the right path. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Amen. You know, and I can't help but realize that as we get into this and continue in the journey of Abraham and seeing how his dedication to the Father really exemplifies what it looks like to be a good student of the Word, a committed person unto Yah, mm-hmm. truly showing us, even though that there's sometimes hiccups and failures in our own lives, that we can get up and keep going, and that Almighty Yah graces us in forward motion. And we're so thankful for these things. So thankful. So, Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, and begins and says, "And Yehovah appeared to him, Vayera." And we know a root from Vayera is Ra'ah, to see. And Almighty Yah wants us to be able to see whenever He presents Himself to us. But for us to be able to see, we first have to hear. And one of the most beautiful things that I notice is said quite often amongst our body is having eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart wanting to know, the soft heart willing to receive. And we know and see through Abraham's journey, even all the way up to the age of 100 now, that Almighty Yah continues to show Himself mighty, just as He's going to continue to show Himself mighty to us. Now, what's important is what follows. By the terebinth trees of Mamre. And this is, I believe, the second time we hear about the terebinth trees of Mamre, in the sense of dealing with Abraham and his journey. And we know the terebinth tree is Elyon, terebinth or mighty. Mamre deals with strength and fatness or excess, the abundance of Yah. And we know that if we allow ourselves to be subjected to His word, which does come forth, as I'm reminded, as the hammer, the fire, and the sword, so that way it can humble us and position us to where we can endure the heat of the day. And try not to jump around too much. But all things in order, of course. But what's incredible about that is the fact that when we are willing to subject ourselves to receive that from the Father in our lives so it can produce something in us, because that's the ultimate goal, is the fact that it has to be wielded by a teaching priest. And we were subjected and reminded of that last Shabbat. And it was so incredible and uplifting to know that even though Israel went without a teaching priest and law for many days, for long seasons, we could see the residual effects of what happens whenever we let go or give up the position that Father Yah wants us to be in, preferably in the tent door, which we're making our way to. Amen. Hallelujah. And we know the imagery that we're given that Abraham had himself at the right place, at the right time, willing to receive, in the sense of Ephed, the one who watches at the tent door. We should be reminded that Messiah Yeshua is the door. He is the only means of access to the Father because of the sacrifice that He gave us so that we can walk uprightly. Because we should be reminded, because I believe we read it every Shabbat in the lighting of the menorah, that He came not to judge with the sight of His eyes nor the hearing of His ears, but with righteousness, to judge the poor ones of the earth and guide the meek ones with straightness. It's there, but it's starting to slowly turn into Rob's translation. So, but yeah. So, that's the beautiful thing, though, is every time I read that, and I'm reminded of that, because I got to share it today at work with a few of the guys, because they noticed that I was a little bit more quiet and a little bit more focused. I wonder why. They kind of pointed it out. And one of the gentlemen was sitting down, and he was just like, well, what you going to speak about? And I was like, all right, cool. There's an interest. And you know, that's the very thing in the spirit at that moment for that in particular individual. I was wooed to the sense of being reminded that we have to realize, just as I said before, just because a man or anyone can think doesn't make it right. And I began to explain to him, if we were all honest, that we have moments of weakness to where we don't realize the damage that we end up doing when we judge by our eyes and judge by the hearing of our ears. But it's required of us to judge all matters unto righteousness. And the Father's the one that wields that so properly for us to take hold to. And so he really enjoyed when I said, just because a man can think doesn't make it right. He went, that's right. Like, he was all about that. And I was like, well, you genuinely think about it, we do get ourselves in trouble whenever we entertain those things. But I said, we do have a Messiah, Christ, that shows us perfectly how to walk that out. If we are willing to submit ourselves to him, and we could see so perfectly in Abraham's life that he has a heart after the Father and his things. He has a consistency of willing to keep going and showing up, even though motivation might not be there. And I think a lot of the world would rather run off of motivation than discipline. And the difference between the two is motivation is based upon feelings. I feel motivated to do so, or I don't feel motivated to do so. But discipline is the willingness to keep pressing forward, even whenever the heat of the day arrives. And we can see in Abraham's life time and time again that even though the heat would come, he was getting better and better. And now we see in the latter part of his life that he is positioning himself correctly. So, when I was reminded of the door, John chapter 10 came to mind. So let's go ahead and take ourselves to John chapter 10. In reflection of Yeshua Messiah being the door. Before I begin to read, Father Yah had me chuckling earlier because in the spirit, I literally heard, it's time for your eye appointment, and to make sure you got your hearing aids on. Because it's important for us to have those things in regards to understanding his ways. But John chapter 10, verse 1 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter through the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, that one is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, the hearing of his voice will be completely determined if we're willing to subject ourselves to be at the tent of the door, wherever that may be in our life. And also the location by the terebinth trees, Almighty Yah's strength. So I begin to reflect upon my life. And I had moments of weeping because I began to realize even more and more after the longevity of my life decisions that I should not be where I'm at. But because the Father saw so see, he so saw see fit, I can't speak, for me to be where I'm at now because of my outcry, my outreach, it just shows the love of the Father. Because the thing is, I could have made it all this way and chose to keep my ears shut. I could have become dull of hearing. And we know Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 speaks on those matters whenever they're trying to explain the order of Melchizedek. But the principle that we can draw from that is we can't become dull of hearing. We can't base our willingness to receive a word on emotions, on the things that thrive off of just motivation alone. And don't get me wrong, motivation's good, but discipline's better. And we receive plenty of discipline because the flesh needs it. The flesh needs it. So let's hold our spots there, but also go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is in regards to something I found absolutely incredible that ties in completely with the different approaches the Father's been putting into our life or putting it on our radar in regards to a teaching priest or a preacher and being able to hear, see, and receive. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, "And besides being wise, Koheleth also taught the people knowledge." And what I found absolutely interesting about Koheleth, it is literally translated as preacher. Someone that can receive information, but also move people. And that imagery we get whenever we see that is also a shepherd. A shepherd, by his voice, is able to move his sheep as long as they recognize his voice. And we know Abraham definitely recognized the Father's voice time and time again, even though there were hiccups. But we can see in Yeshua's life absolute perfection, qualifying him to be the one true shepherd. But Koheleth also taught the people knowledge, and he listened and sought out. That's always a beautiful reminder that a teacher is always also a student, willing to learn as they give information. We can never get ourselves stuck in a trap in a sense of thinking that we have arrived and we figured it all out. Because I still personally feel like a babe at times, because there's things that I have grown from. But praise Yah for all the forward motion that he's allowed in our lives to gain more and more as we go on. But it continues, Koheleth sought to find out words of delight and words of truth, rightly written. So rightly written can also imply the fact that there might be some other words out there coming from what looks like potential caring people that could become misleading. It is our job through set apart spirit and discernment and the ability to bear good fruit to discern those matters so that way we're continually in a position at the tent door or the yeshiva, which comes from yeshab, which literally is a place of learning, the yeshiva. So that requires the action of being willing to be a good student. So that way we know what words are rightly written. It continues, the words of the wise are like goads. And goads, I spent a little time on Google looking at imagery so I can get a better understanding. And it's that blunt object that could be used to push along. In a sense, goads also is a device that can move larger cattle. And what's interestingly enough about that device shape, it also resembles the shape of a carpenter's hammer. So what's interesting is Almighty Yah's wise words, if we liken ourselves onto his voice and cling on to him, whenever it's time to move, we'll move as the shepherd guides us. And as nails driven by the masters of collections, they were given by one shepherd. So interestingly enough, we're going to move and come back to this one again. I was reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12 through 17. Now, this is all within the parameter of what it's like to be at that tent door, willing to receive the words of our Messiah. Because truly, he speaks the words of our Father. So, Deuteronomy 15:12, when your brother is sold to you, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, and shall serve you 6 years, then let him go free from you in the seventh year. And when you send him away free from you, let him not go away empty-handed. You shall richly supply him for your flock, and from your threshing floor, and from your winepress, with that which Jehovah has blessed you with, give to him. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Mishraim, and Jehovah your Elohim has ransomed you. Therefore, I am commanding you this word today. Before I continue, this has been an absolute blessing to my life, because I was, in a sense, slipping a little bit whenever it came to patience. Not just patience for good things, but also patience for things that absolutely deserves patience. Because in our interactions out there, as representatives of the Father, as sheep of our Messiah, it is so detrimental to our walk that we represent him well. And if we begin to allow our feelings to override the character, then we're doing no justice in this walk. We have to continually remember from whence which we came and we were led out of. And it was absolutely humbling and just in time, because sometimes I think if we drift, allow just a little bit of drift, that one little thing just waiting to set you off will begin to sneak its way up. But we have to be on guard continually. And it shall be when he says to you, I do not go away from you, because he loves you and your house, because it is good for him with you. We can all attest that our servitude to the Father, as Messiah Yeshua being our one true shepherd, it is a house that we love and we want to stay in forever. And the moments we catch ourselves with our ears growing dull of hearing, the next verse, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Amen. Do the same to your female servant. And all I can say to that is hallelujah. Because that ultimately is what we're here for. To receive a word that will pierce. and keep us at the door, coming back for more. Because he charged Peter to feed his sheep. And ultimately, that's what we're here for, is to receive and give in all aspects of love and all the fruits of the Spirit. But now we're going to put it back in reverse and head back to Ecclesiastes. So recapping on 11, the words of the wise are like goads, as nails driven by the masters of collections. They were given by one shepherd. And besides these, my son, be warned, the making of many books has no end. And much studying is wearying of the flesh. Something's telling me that's a good indicator to study and be a good student. Meet at the yeshiva that he has appointed for us in our life to come together and learn and grow together and put our emotions and our lack of motivation aside and receive discipline so we can keep pressing forward as a unit, as sheep of a flock. Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear Elohim and guard his commands. This applies to all mankind. For Elohim shall bring every work into right ruling, including all that is hidden, whether good or whether evil. And that reminded me just now of the half Torah from last week, which mainly really stood out on the Father just laying it out, saying, I'm the one that raises the valleys. I'm the one that lowers the hills. He's the one that has set the straight right ruling for us to adhere to. And whenever it comes to the administration of discipline, he will set things straight. And now reverse and one more time, back to John chapter 10. And recap on 3, verse 3. The doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Hallelujah. And they shall by no means follow a stranger, but shall flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Yeshua used this figure of speech, but they did not know what he had been saying to them. Maybe it could be because their ears weren't pierced enough yet. But thankfully, the Father has many ways with his wise words to goad us along. Yeshua therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and shall go out and find pasture. Cares about every aspect, the going in, the going out, and our rest. And here we are on another Shabbat being blessed by the Father, for the ability to come before him and serve him in spirit and truth, giving him all of what we got to give. The thief does not come except to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. I have come that they might possess life and that they might possess it beyond measure, life everlasting. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This should ring a bell. But the hireling, and not being a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. All I could say is praise Yah that we're in a position to where we have teaching priests, people willing to stand up and follow Messiah, be willing to match that same format that is exactly to the T what the Father wants, and to walk it out with certainty and the ability to keep up and keep going, even though sometimes we get knocked down. But ultimately, our true one shepherd is always standing on our behalf, interceding on our behalf. And I'm getting the mental imagery of the fact that the wolf-like behavior. You see, wolves don't attack when the flock's together. The tendency of a wolf, and this is by nature, this is something that when studied you do see, the tendency of a wolf, it waits until one of the sheep are vulnerable. So Scripture so craftily and wisely uses these examples for us so that way whenever we see it taking place outside the flock, that we're able to discern the matter at hand. Or, in other words, see the fangs. Now, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and not concerned about the sheep. Yeshua goes on to say, I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, the ones on the way. Because quite frankly, I'm sure we all have people in our life that we want to be able to have in the fold, so they can experience the goodness, the purity, the wonderfulness of having a high priest that is the one true shepherd that will watch over continually and guide us into safety. But the mercy of the Father, which is so incredible and I notice and seen and witnessed into my own life, is the fact that he gives grace and mercy even on those that have not yet come into the fold. Because I can attest to something absolutely amazing. I'll give a testimony right now. My brother. He's been going through it. But the prayers are being answered. Now he's still going through it. But he's using Scripture. He's reading. He's posting about it. When we talk on the phone, it's an hour about the Father. And not about the pain. I just remember crying countless hours, knowing my voice will be heard, but knowing the pain to be able to relate. And ultimately, when we meet at the door, we meet at the door and have our ears pierced, listening to our Messiah, because he walked out this Torah perfectly. He completed it with love. The love of the Father. that nothing is too short for him. And all we got to do is keep meeting, keep coming together, keep being part of that unit, keep praying for one another, interceding when we go in and come out. All these matters, watching out for one another, is what's required of us. But I'm so thankful that I'm getting to witness a seed that was planted even before I came into this walk being watered. And I give Almighty Yah all the praise for that. For everything. All life that has breath shall praise Him. Because of this, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to receive it again. And we will do the same. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to receive it again. This command I have received from my Father. And of course, we have an example of the wolves coming out for a brief moment. But the thing is, they always out themselves. Again, there came a division among the Yehudim because of these words. And many of them said, "He has a demon, and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" I mean, if I could be a little frank and quiet, straight to the point and honest, I've heard these words before in my life in regards to where I'm at, what I'm learning. And, of course, I do all boasting in the Father as much as possible, because humility is something that He appreciates, because He exalts the humble and humbles the self-exalted. So, the matter of the fact is, the Father has us all here. He knew us before we were even created inside of our mother's womb and considered all matters into our lives. And it just leaves it up to us if we continue to show up and choose Him. But others said, these are one with eyes seeable, ears hearable, and hearts ready to receive. These are not the words of one possessed by a demon. Is a demon able to open the eyes of the blind? Vayera, ra'ah, to see. And we can see if we attest and look back into our own life, even with the heat of the day, the trials and tribulations that come, we don't bow and bend to inconveniences, but we keep pressing forward because the Father has conveniences for us waiting, is that our eyes have been opened. Our ears are healed and we can hear. And our hearts are ready to receive. Because truly, even if we have a moment of callousness, if we're able to repent and turn away from our mistakes, then once again, we have a heart willing to receive. And on the matter of completing the Torah in love, in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. And it says, "Owe no one any matter except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the Torah. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other command, it is summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Therefore, love is completion of the Torah." And if we're reminded in Matthew chapter 5, whenever it speaks about, "I have not come to do away with," Neither the Torah nor the prophets, not one yod or tittle, shall pass away until the heaven and the earth passes away, and we are still here, and that's still present, and in the process of being renewed. So something's telling me it will never pass away. So I enjoy being able to hear that from my shepherd and being reminded of the fact that we're called to follow him as Christians or Christianos, Messiah-like by definition. So if we want completion of the Torah, it has to be with a heart of love. And do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for us to wake up from sleep, have our eyes open. For now, our deliverance is nearer than we did believe. The night is far advanced, the day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in day, not in wild parties, drunkenness, not living together in the decencies, not fighting in envy, but put on the Master, Yeshua Messiah, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. So what we can see is as long as we're putting ourselves in a position to be at the tent door, to hear the words of our Messiah, to have our ears pierced, to allow the goad to shove us along when we get stuck in a spot we shouldn't be, and reciprocate that love as servants unto our Master by just following the commands, by just allowing ourselves to be transformed, renewed, back into the original image and likeness that the Father had in store for us. And now on to what the Father was dealing with me about the heat of the day, the inconveniences that life seems that it could bear. We should never allow ourselves, no matter how hot things get, to step away from the position he's putting us in, because truly there's shade in the tent of the door. It's a place of cooling and refreshment. I mean, after a long week of, I'm sure, a lot of heat, Shabbat is genuinely a place where the door allows us to rest in the coolness of the Father. Even though it was hot outside, we're inside that ark. We're inside that place of covenant, that place of promise, because he said, if you delight in me, I'll delight in you. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I found this to be very uplifting and encouraging, especially whenever it comes to being reminded that we need to hear, see, be good sheep of the one shepherd, but also soldiers under the authority of Messiah, willing to stand and guard and protect the commands and right rulings of the Father, putting ourselves as good representatives of one that is a teaching priest that abides by the law, the Torah. It says, you then, starting on verse 1, you then, my son, be strong in the favor that is in Messiah Yeshua. And what you have heard from me among many witnesses, entrust these to trustworthy men who shall be content to teach others as well. Suffer hardship with us as a good soldier of Yeshua Messiah. So I would believe the fact is that if we're experiencing hardships because of our stance, because of our stand, there's confirmation that we're doing something right. So the enemy is not going to try and knock down something that was never built. And I praise Yah for these reminders. No one serving as a soldier gets involved with the affairs of this life in order to please only him who enlisted as a soldier. And this was able to make more sense for me because when I was living days in Connecticut, I lived in a household full of Navy personnel. Now, they had integrity, but they also had their ways. It was a lot of worldliness. But the better side of the matter, as soldiers, is what they signed up for, they chose to rise to an occasion much higher than what's considered normal. And I can't help but realize that as soldiers of Messiah, that's exactly what we're doing. We're rising to the occasion. That's going to require much more discipline. It's going to require much more of us to want to receive the word, understand it, we're being blessed with teachings that show us how to rightly walk these things out in order, five by fives. And I know we're not on the Exodus yet, but I'm being reminded of that. And so with those things being said and considered, whenever the time of duty calls, in regards to the Navy personnel I was speaking of, by obligation, it was time to get up and go. When it was time to go, they went because that's what they signed up for. And that's essentially what we signed up for. When our shepherd tells us to go, we go. When our shepherd tells us to sit put, we sit put. And there's so many different aspects of these matters that we can learn from and draw from. And if anyone competes in a game, oh, I love this one. If anyone competes in a game, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is a life across the board for every aspect that we can think of. Almost absolutely everything has rules. We must abide by the rules. We must be willing to have our ears pierced in a position that he wants it, so that way we know what the rules are. So that way we can benefit. Because life, let's be real, it's a form of competition. Because it's an all-out spiritual warfare. The enemy wants to see us gone. The Father wants to see us all the time, every day, nonstop, forever. So, by allowing the Father to do what he does in our life, and in reflection to Abraham, and yes, I keep pointing back to the Torah portion because it feels like he took me down a long GPS-routed path to see all these different things that fit into that same concept of him wanting us to learn and understand who we are in him and compete by the rules. But it goes on to continue with more proverbs. The hardworking farmer ought to be first to receive his share of the crops. You know, that's a very easy thing to see, that we know that if we're tilling and farming the ground according to his instructions, that whenever he provides the rain, we'll yield good crops. That increase will be nice and plentiful, and he'll want us to share the firstness of that with him. Think over what I say, for the Master shall give you understanding into all this. And what's incredible is just, I'm sure it's obvious to others, but this is a form of koleheth. This is a form of preaching. What's being read is that when we are able to take everyday real life examples and help people have their eyes open that might not yet be opened to realization that these things are so tightly knitted together of the Father. And then by doing so, it'll want to be a welcoming blanket to invite them in from the coldness of their life. And it's just absolutely incredible the imagery that he gives. But remember that Yeshua Messiah of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my good news. for which I suffer hardship as a criminal onto chains. But the word of Elohim is not chained, nor should anyone ever try to chain it. So I endure through it all for the sake of the chosen, so that they too obtain deliverance, which is in Messiah Yeshua with everlasting esteem. And more on the aspect of enduring, if we were quite honest, these past few years, it's been a lot of heat. But the Father is going to make sure it's not for nothing. Because you keep showing up. You keep allowing Him to pour into you. He's going to do something great. Because He always does. Trustworthy is the word. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also shall deny us. There's a balance to all matters. If we are not trustworthy, He remains trustworthy. It is impossible for Him to deny Himself. And we know when the Father could swear by no higher being, He swore by Himself. And Yeshua, quite frankly, said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Because He's Logos, an exact representation of His Father. Hallelujah. But it gets better. Remind them of this, earnestly witnessing before the Master. Not to wage verbal battles. Oh, are they easy? They're so easy. But those are the matters of the flesh, and if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, which leads to death. So, we're going to do our best to, when necessary, use that wise discernment that He's goading us with. But verbal battles, which is useless to the overthrowing of the hearers. So could it be verbal battles kind of sound like clanging cymbals to people on the outside listening in? That's why we have to be wise. What is it? Wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do your utmost to present yourself approved to Elohim. This is means a lot because throughout the week when I was driving the garbage truck and trying to get as much as I could get in the word, and praise God that He lined me up with the one truck that actually has Bluetooth in it. I can listen to stuff. And it's all beneficial. It's all favor. This is all things that He was able to put in my life because of my willingness to show up. But the reason of the weeping moment is because I kept hearing it in my head as I meditated over this section of the Torah portion. Oh, mercy. As I kept hearing, you have to find yourself approved. You have to find yourself approved. And I was just like, if I gotta use Google for this, I'm gonna be so upset. But the reality is, that's what we're here for. We're striving in this competition, not against each other, but with each other on the same team, with the same head coach. So that way, we're building each other up, one another up out of love, by obeying the commands, helping one another, so we can find ourselves approved to Elohim. Because if we catch ourselves in moments trying to approve one another according to us, then that goes against the being able to see, well, the judgment without relying on just the eyes of the flesh, not judging according to the hearing of our ears, but with righteousness. That's the only approval that he's looking for. And it continues, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Because if we wield the sword improperly, there might be an ear on the floor somewhere. Not to call Peter out on that, but John kind of put him out. But keep away from profane. It's another key word that we were introduced and reminded of, not to mix what's holy with the profane. And it's so important because we're walking billboards. People will be able to tell which is which. But keep away from profane, empty babblings, for they go on to more wickedness. And we know if we're not careful, whenever matters happen in individuals' lives or with whatever the scenario, secondhand information can get a lot of people in trouble. And I've experienced that so many times in my life because it's subtle. You hear a matter taking place, you hear of a mistake, and you think you have the answers to it. But it's always wise to be quick to listen, slow to speak. And their word shall eat, and their word shall eat its way like gangrene. That's gross. Humanos, now this is this is what I call boldness. These people are by name called out, for example. Humanos, enphaiotios, don't know if I said that right, are of these sort. So the shoe fits for them. Who have missed the goal concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and overthrow the belief of some. So unfortunately, these are wolf types that are preying on people. And we can always tell the difference when a wolf is trying to snatch someone away from the flock. But, however, the solid foundation of Elohim stands firm, having this seal. Yehovah knows those who are his. Hallelujah. His sheep hear his voice. They have their eyes ready to see him when he appears. Vayera. Even during the heat of the day. And let everyone who names the name of Messiah turn away from unrighteousness. But in a large house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some unto value and some unto no value. If then anyone cleanses himself from these matters, he shall be a vessel unto value, having been set apart, of good use to the master, having been prepared for every good work. And something I began to notice, though, here whenever it lists vessels of gold, silver, wood, and clay. See, I'd imagine man would determine those by monetary value or by status, if we're speaking about people being vessels, or about favorability. That's my favorite brother so-and-so, but brother Jellybean makes me mad. We don't need to worsen anything that doesn't need that. But in regards to what's being said, as anyone cleanses himself onto these matters shall be a vessel unto value. Cleanses. He is more concerned about what's in the vessel, what it looks like, what it smells like, and how it acts, than more so the position that he may have put those vessels in for their set purpose, their set use. Because ultimately, he wants to make sure what he calls holy, set apart, because we are a set apart nation, a royal priesthood, to not become profaned and dirty. But he always provides cleansing. And it goes on, and flee from the lust of youth, but pursue righteousness, belief, love, peace with those calling on the Master out of a clean heart. And I know moments in my shortcomings. A lot of the time, whenever I enter into necessary repentance, I cry out to the Father. And I say, Father, create in me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. A steadfast spirit. Because where I've fallen, I don't want to end up back there again. Please, Father, give me that steadfast spirit that will keep me on that straight and narrow. Thank you for picking me up again. And it goes on. But refuse foolish and stupid questions. That was blunt. Knowing that they breed quarrels. Because the matter of the fact that when we operate in that set apart spirit through discernment, most times we can see the intentions of certain questionings that comes from the foolishness of one just looking to quarrel. And a servant of the Master should not quarrel, but be gentle towards all, able to teach, patient when wronged, in meekness, instructing those who are in opposition. Truly, we know those that decide to put themselves on the other team, or a team of opposition, we'll call it that. The Father still requires us to operate in meekness, still requires us to carry out His character properly. And you know what? He loves us so much that He'll turn up the heat. So that way, He can really see what's inside of us, to help us. But if we don't receive that help and kick against the goad continually, then it'll put us in a bad opposition, very bad. And it truly, it says, whatever you do unto the least of these, you turn unto the greatest, the Father. So our conductivity is so important. And the wisdom of Messiah telling us to love our enemies, and by definition, it's ones that are persecuting you, dragging your name through the dirt, associating you with lie after lie, trying to make you look bad so they can exalt themselves. Love for them by prayer. Because ultimately, if they choose to continue to go down the path of opposition, then they store up wrath for the day of wrath, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And that's a humbling matter to always be reminded by. And they come to their senses out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive, by him to do his desire. I'm going to read that again. Let me back up one verse. In meekness, instructing those who are in opposition, lest somehow Elohim, because I didn't finish it, lest somehow Elohim gives them repentance unto thorough knowledge of the truth, and they come to their senses. But it has to be by the hand of the Father. Out of the snare of the devil. So, unfortunately, they allowed their walk to get their foot stuck in something that they shouldn't have. Having been taken captive by him to do the devil's desire. And we know the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, sower of discord. So, when the fangs come out, you know which father is in operation. Because Messiah addressed the religious sect that believed that they were holier than thou. We are the walls of Jerusalem. You are the walls in the way of Almighty Yah's people that are trying to serve him. But Almighty Yah still loves you also. So Messiah reproved them in the same way that he reproved everyone else and showed the same love of the Father, because he didn't judge by the sight of his eyes nor the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he set all those matters straight. And we're so thankful for that. And ultimately, I'm so thankful that the Father was able to pour all this wealth of information into me. And my prayer was that I was able to pour it back out to my brothers and sisters in this walk, to be uplifting and to be encouraging in the way that the Father has me now. Because I look forward to the growth. Because if anything I'm learning from Abraham's walk, there was a time he struggled with patience, like we all do at some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And I definitely do. I could speak for myself very well. I'm just a little all right at being quiet. But I'm thankful from literally just verse 1 of chapter 18, and Yehovah appeared to him, Vayera, Ra'ah, see, by the terebinth trees, the mighty strength of the Almighty Father of Mamre, while he was sitting in the tent door, the yeshiva, the place of learning, having his ear pierced, because he is a Hebrew, the first Hebrew, servant unto the Father. In the heat of the day. So whenever things get a little hot, and I think being in southern Louisiana, we know what hot is. But we also definitely know what hot is spiritually. We will continue to come and serve him in meekness and humbleness, practice the fruit of the spirits, and enjoy fellowship. But with that being said, that's where it'll come to a closing. We can go ahead and enter into prayer. Amen. Praise Yah.